Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests. Viewpoint.
It is Tuesday, the 18th of May. You're listening to Viewpoint and TRE on TRE Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain. I am Giles Brown. I still am Giles Brown, and I will be with you for the next 2 hours, more or less, as we discuss the issues of the day. I'm joined in the studio by Roslyn Scott-Gibb and Claudia De La Torre. We'll be talking to them in a little while as well. If you want to get involved with the show and get your viewpoint across, any viewpoint, these are the numbers. I have been reliably informed that all the telephones, all the ways of communication are working today. So these are the contact numbers. These are the contact numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed. Those are the ways to get in contact with us. We'll be looking through the papers in a little while. We're going to be doing anything that's crossing your viewpoint. Obviously, we'll be looking at the situation, both in the UK as it opens up, after what seems to have been a very, very long time indeed. Also going to be looking at the situation in Spain, after the recent elections as well. And also, looking at, reaction to events in Israel and Gaza. As I said before, 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. If you want to get involved with the show, looking at the papers, we'll start off with El País. We'll start off with El País in Spain, see what they are saying. See what they are saying this morning. The use of masks outdoors in Spain could be relaxed in the coming days, health official announces. Spanish Prime Minister, max vaccinations for under 50s to begin in June. That's Pedro Sanchez has announced that the 40 to 49 population can expect to get their first shot next month, as one in five people in the 50 to 59 age group have already received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. And also on the front page of El País, on the website, global warming accelerates in Spain. Average temperature rises 1.3 Celsius in 60 years. The National Weather Agency, AMET, has said that despite the slowdown in the coronavirus, the pandemic, the concentration of carbon reached levels in 2020 that hadn't been seen for 800,000 years. Looking for my UK papers at the moment. Having a quick look down for the UK papers. No, that's the sports papers. So that's not giving me a lot of help. Just looking to see what the front pages say. Bear with me, please, for a second. That seems to have gone very, very quiet indeed. Here we go. Hopefully, let's have a look at newspapers. Thank you so much. The Guardian reports that the Indian variant of COVID-19 will become the dominant strain in the UK within days, which could pose a threat in the final loosening of restrictions on what's put now for June the 21st. The Eye has a similar story. Their headline, variant fears hit route back to normality. According to the Times, the government could bring back tiered restrictions on a localized basis. If the relaxation of the rules in June have to be postponed, reporting that some vaccine skeptics have now been convinced to take the COVID jab, the Metro declares at last they get the point. But the Mail says now vaccine refuseniks threaten freedom. The Daily Express encourages its readers to get inoculated. Its headline, Jabs Will Help Us All Beat Variant. The Telegraph says EU ministers will announce that Britons will be able to travel to the continent without the need for tests or quarantine as long as they have a vaccine passport. Dread word for several. The Mirror describes the people shown hugging and socialising on its front cover as touched by hope. The Star features a pony in a pub on its front page with the headline, Everything is back to normal then. And those are your headlines this Tuesday, the 18th of May. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe official. You can WhatsApp us on +34 645 99 67 95. More Viewpoint after this.
Viewpoint
with Giles Brown.
Live from the studios of TRE Talk Radio, your voice in Spain.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And with news that British tourists are now allowed to enter Portugal on the UK green list, as is Gibraltar, seeing a surge in Brits flying out to Portugal, and the use of vaccine passports. That word has just been used in today's papers. Joined in studio by Claudia De La Torre and Roslyn Scott-Gibb. Good morning, panel. How are you both this morning?
Good morning, Giles. Good morning, everybody. Well, it's a great pleasure to be here.
Social distance, of course, just to make sure we're social distance.
Absolutely, totally, completely, and out and about.
Yes. Out and about with a mask on. Claudia, good to see you, my friend.
Lovely to see you, Giles. Good morning to everyone.
952-78-4000, the phone number, studio at tre.radio is the email, the Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official. Where do we want to start today, pal? We're going to start with the Spanish news. Claudio, do you want to start with what's been crossing your radar first of all before we go to Ross?
Well, something quite shocking that happened yesterday evening here in Ceuta, not far away, is 5,000 people have entered the territory yesterday.
What, rush the wall?
Rush the wall, swimming. It's the single biggest number that in history that have entered, and of course this has a diplomatic origin because of the fallout between the Moroccan government and the Spanish government, because the Spanish government allowed the leader of the Saharan movement called the Frente Polisario to arrive. So this basically all diplomatic. Let's say important figures are saying that it's a retaliation of Morocco that have allowed all these people, because they usually contain the immigrants because they were all Moroccan. They weren't sub-Saharan. They were all Moroccan citizens that crossed yesterday. Up to now, they're saying over 5,000. So, of course, they're saying that this has... There's a huge diplomatic crisis between Spain and Morocco over the decision of the government to host this person who Morocco considers a terrorist. I'm not saying he is or he's not, but Morocco consider him one.
This is the Western Sahara, isn't it?
Yeah. So he's the leader of the organization that claimed to kind of insurrection against the Moroccan government. So that's the decision of the Spanish government to allow him to come to Spain to get medical care for COVID, of course, has caused a huge diplomatic row. And that Morocco said that there would be consequences. So, yeah, yesterday they kind of allowed all these people to flow in, which they usually contain and don't allow to get close to the border. So, yeah, the situation is very serious indeed.
Roslyn?
Well, it sounds quite difficult, really. So are they being contained here on the coast of Spain?
Well, as they arrived in Ceuta, they didn't arrive. Oh, right. They arrived swimming by to Ceuta, so they kind of crossed the kind of fence or surrounded it. So, of course, there's nowhere to put them. We're talking about huge numbers of people. The army has been deployed in Ceuta to try and contain the situation because, of course, it's gone completely out of hand. They don't know what to do with them or what to...
But I didn't even realise that the Moroccans were all that keen, desperate to come into Spain. I mean, I know sub-Sahara, I think we can all expect a huge number of them as
there are still a large amount of Moroccans, you know, people from North Africa who are trying to get into Spain. I mean, this has been going on for a while.
Of course, yeah, the poverty there is terrible, and one hears about the sub-Saharans, but then a lot of Africans, of Moroccans arrive, especially miners, because the miners, they're not allowed to send them back. So then once they're here, it's nearly impossible to send them back. So it's causes a lot of trouble because then they have to be housed, then they don't have their parents. We're talking about 12, 13, 14-year-olds who their families tell them to go to Spain to look for a better future, but then they arrive here, they can't work, they can't do anything. So, of course, it's a huge burden for the state because they don't know what to do with all these people. So, yeah, the situation is very difficult.
It's a terrible, terrible situation. And then, of course, as more and more countries in sub-Sahara Africa don't have the vaccinations. I mean, Kenya would be probably have more than most, and they're going to run out in a couple of weeks. Then people are going to be desperate again. More and more coming to come up. I mean, already they're. The number has increased tremendously going into Italy, for example. It's a big problem. I don't know the answer.
952-78-4000, the phone number, studio@tre.radio is the email, Facebook page, Talk Radio Official. Good morning to Richard. Good to have you with us on the programme at the moment. Let's go on to some other stories that we've got breaking in Spain about this. The use of masks outdoors in Spain could be relaxed in the coming days. Coronavirus measure could be relaxed provided the data continues to improve and other restrictions stay in place. That's from Fernando Simón, of course, the government's chief epidemiologist. It's very possible that the use of masks outdoors would be revised in just a few days. He said he would not give a date for the de-escalation of the measure, but it's true that it is possible. He said that we will not take long to be able to make clear proposals for retracting the use of masks in specific situations, but that does not mean the rest of the measures will be left in place. According to yesterday's report, the 14-day number of coronavirus cases per 100,000 inhabitants is now 152, and if it falls between the 150 mark, it means that Spain will have gone from a situation of high risk to medium risk. So, Roz?
Well, I think Spain has handled this pretty well, relatively speaking, in comparison to other countries. I mean, I couldn't believe that the CDC, is it, in the US said, no masks, you can take your masks off. Everybody, it's an honor system. If you haven't had the vaccine, we trust you that you'll keep your mask on. Can't believe that actually happened. And so I think it's much better, obviously, to be cautious and also to go towards this vaccine passport as soon as possible for everything. So that you can go into the supermarket,
A lot of people are saying that a vaccine passport is a way of discrimination, and you know those who have decided not to take a vaccine because of the my body, my choice, etc., are going to be discriminated against. Roz,
well, that's their choice. If they choose not to have the vaccine, that's fine. We can respect that, but then they have to take the consequence. I'm sorry, to me it's completely irrational that you can't have it both ways.
952-78-4000.
Because it's not just you. You're not just protecting yourself, it's everybody else.
Claudia, your thoughts on this one?
Well, it's a difficult situation because I understand that some people are reluctant because they fear, they've heard, let's say, of consequences like blood clots, etc. So they are a bit wary. I don't judge those people. I do understand that they... But then I think banning them from going, let's say, to supermarkets or doing certain activities is a bit excessive. So I think with time that the virus will contain itself, and it already is, and we just have to wait till things kind of calm down before taking, let's say, drastic decisions that could lead to a constitutional battle and other... you don't know exactly what it could lead to eventually if you ban certain people from doing things. So I think one has to be very cautious in that aspect.
Well, I think on the other hand, look at India, who went from one extreme to the other. They pretty well had it, depending on the news media, but under control in January. Everybody went back to their villages. Okay, they didn't have work, but it was more or less under control. And then Modi decided that he needed all these people demonstrating for the elections and then all the festivals. So everybody came out, and now it's completely out of control. So it's not going to be contained all that easily. I mean, I think it does take very drastic steps. I mean, look at poor old Taiwan, who is one of the only countries in the world that managed to lock the borders and had no problem at all, no cases. And now they have a serious problem just because one group of pilots, it was a plane that came from India, I think, and a group of pilots brought it to Taiwan, and they have no vaccine. They didn't need one, and they have no vaccine. So, I mean, it's not going to be contained easily, and you know, it has to be taken seriously. So for those that refuse to have the vaccine, do they think they should be allowed on airplanes, for example?
952-78-4000. Should they be allowed on airplanes going live to the lines? Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
I'm Kate.
Morning, Kate.
Morning. This is a cookie because I've got to go. Rosalind is exactly right. And decisions have their consequences. If we decide, no, you're not going to take the vaccine, then that has a consequence for other people around, whether you want it or not. And you take that decision, and you don't bloody well bellyache about it. It seems to me it's not a moral issue. It's actually a practical issue. In the sense of there is a worldwide pandemic on, you don't mess around.
There's a worldwide pandemic on, you don't mess around. Kate, thank you very much for that. And Captain, have a good rest of your day if you're having to head out. We're going live to the lines again on line two. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles, and your panel. How are you? Are you all right?
Hey, well, Jason, good to have you with us.
Okay, well, it won't surprise you. I don't quite agree with Kate. By excluding people from life, okay, Hitler did this, didn't he, in the Second World War. They also used experimental vaccines on children with the Jews, and then they marked the passports, and then they excluded them from travel. They even put armbands on their arms, right? And those people were put to death after the Second World War. There was... It was Dr. Death, wasn't it? The Angel of Death, Hitler's SS guy, who thought it was a good idea to experiment. This vaccine's experimental, right? I'm not against vaccines. And the thing is, Kate, your argument falls down. Because if this vaccine was classed as safe, right, and the trials had been completed, then your point stands. But your point is totally flawed because the vaccine is experimental. Right, and under that, if you start forcing people to do things, it breaks the Nuremberg Code, which was set up to stop history repeating itself. It breaks every European, federal, and state law as well, and international law. You cannot do apartheid on people and force them with a gun to their head to do things. And then we come to children. Children cannot drink or drive or fight wars or decide for themselves because it's too young to decide for himself. So forcibly injecting children with something that we will not know is safe for 2 or 3 years is absolutely abhorrent, and it's deplorable. And I tell you, the side effects of these vaccines, if you look at the government's own figures, are getting pretty high. And as for India, the population is 1.2 billion, so, you know, don't get hysterical, because the percentage is still the same.
Thanks.
All right?
So, Jason, I've got some more calls coming, but thank you for the call in there. Thanks, it was always good to hear from you. Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name, where are you calling from, what's your viewpoint, please?
And quickie response.
Yes, yeah, yes, Kate, thought you might be back on. Sorry, Kate.
The man has just been speaking.
Jason, yes. Oh. Hello, Kate.
Yep.
Sorry, I lost you there. Yeah, sorry, please continue, sorry.
Right, the man who's just been speaking is Nuremberg, et cetera, et cetera. This is ballooning melodrama. As I said, it's a practical issue. There is a pandemic around. The best advice at the moment is getting a vaccine, if you can get it. The percentage of cases about blood clots is so small that statistically it would disappear off the edge of the 0.000, et cetera, et cetera. This is the false thing about freedom, and it's crazy. It doesn't actually bear any kind of logical thing. If you're in a cinema with a fire going, you leave the cinema. You know, it's that kind of issue. Not freedom.
Kate, thanks very much for the call-in. We've got another caller in. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yes, good morning, Giles and the team. Sir David from Venlo Madden.
Morning, hello. David.
Neither. Just going back to your beginning, subject, I suppose, which was the invasion, or is it the illegal immigration of people, Moroccans coming over the border in Ceuta. This really is just an unbelievable situation. Nobody can understand why on earth the Spanish have encouraged it in effect, not this particular instance, but they've done nothing to stop this tide flowing into Spain that's been going on now for years. They never send anybody back, apparently, and they all go into Europe. This is not just only a Spanish problem, especially with 5,000 arriving of these people yesterday. In effect, it's a European problem. If we just look at the complaints that Europe have made, whining on about the tiny and, relatively speaking, irrelevant border in between North and Southern Ireland, they think that that is perforated and that people can pass across that border. So it's a European problem. Well, for crying out loud, 5,000 Moroccans coming into this country is certainly a huge problem, or more to the point, continent of Europe. Why doesn't the EU stop it? Why don't they get in there and do something about it, either militarily or otherwise? But either way, the people who arrive there, especially the children who are now going to be orphans, I mean, what are we going to do with them? Establish Moroccan orphanages here to take care of these people? No, they're all going to be somehow parceled up and sent back to where they come from and where they belong with the families. Otherwise, we're going to get the orphans here, and then we're going to get the families coming over as well. So it will no longer be 5,000, it could well be 7,000 or 8,000 people, plus the grandmas and aunts and uncles. You're going to get 10,000 Moroccans living in Spain. Who is going to pay for them and keep these people? Already the COVID, as one of your panel there mentioned, that COVID is rife over there and there's no injections, no vaccination for it. So in actual fact, it's reasonable to suggest that a large number, probably, I don't know, 20, 40% of those people that came over yesterday, of 5,000, are actually contagious with COVID. So therefore, they need treating, and they will spread it into the society. Certainly, within Ceuta and across the continent, if, of course, they're allowed to come into Europe. It needs stopping at European level, not necessarily at Spanish level.
Thank you very much for your call in there. Points well made. Another caller on the phone. Morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, Giles. It's Teresa.
Morning, Teresa.
I'm semi-vaccinated. I've had the first bit of AstraZeneca. And I think my chances of running into, is it Jason? Yes, isn't it? In the supermarket are probably greater than me getting some kind of side effect. There are side effects, but basically living in Spain, it's more dangerous across the road.
Thank you very much for your call in there. It's more dangerous across the road. Roz, your thoughts?
To back up what Kate said, I mean, it's got nothing to do with moral attitudes, religion. It's pure common sense because it's a pandemic. I just saw an interview with Billy Graham's son, I think it is, on the evangelist. Now, he's had the vaccinations, but 45% of the Christian evangelists in the U.S. are not having the vaccination. I mean, to me, what if you want to take a religious stance, wouldn't that be anti-Christian? Aren't we supposed to care for our fellow human beings as a Christian?
You could argue that the good Lord will look after you, well, you know, whatever. So, I mean, that could be the next point, couldn't
it? Yeah, but no, God helps those who help themselves.
Now, that's, I don't remember saying that. Go live from Lines. Morning, Callie, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Ilana from Savonia.
Good morning.
I just wanted to say that this is the next experimental vaccine for 2023. Also, if people get vaccinated, will they not be protected? So what's the point of vaccine passports? And thirdly, we have to remember that this is a new technology. It's an mRNA technology which genetically modifies your cells to produce the spike protein so that your immune system can attack it. The trouble with that now is that lots of people are going to be producing the spike protein, and people that are unvaccinated can get affected. Another point of view again.
Thank you very much for your call in there. 952, have a good day. 952-784-4000. This in on the WhatsApps. Of course, if you want to get involved with the show, then here's the these are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-784-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Looking at, let's have a look at some of the WhatsApps coming in there. The WhatsApps +34 645 99 67 95. So what if they're discriminated against? It's not a difficult situation at all. We cannot have people roaming the country because they don't want to take the vaccine because they think that Jeff Bezos will plant an implant. I'm not against vaccines, but also, let's have a look at evangelists aren't Christians. They're something else. Irrelevant border, did you just say? The caller should tell that to those on the air Northern Ireland border the issues are irrelevant. See how he gets on. And Spain returned 1,500 migrants back to Morocco, who entered theatre an hour ago. That just in. We're going to go live to the lines in a minute. Also, this one in. Here, Rosalind and Kate. Those who choose not to be vaccinated and prefer to run the risk of catching COVID, let them go ahead. But their liberty ends where it affects everyone else's lives. The lines. Morning, Callie, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please? Hello, you're live on TRE. Morning, Callie, you're live now. And as my grandmother used to say, and there he was gone, Roz.
Well, no, just what the WhatsApp said. If it's only concerning you, it only affects you, that's fine. It's your decision, but you are affecting everybody else. And that's where it's a bit different.
Claudia, thoughts on the where we are with vaccinations in Spain and how it's been going? I mean, you know, you're a younger person than a lot of us. So, you've seen people out and about. You've seen the Madrileños moving. You've seen the, you know, because obviously in Andalusia we're allowed to cross the provincial borders. Thoughts?
Well, I've always thought that as long as the vulnerable people are vaccinated, let's say people that are above a certain age and people that have certain health conditions, the restrictions need to be relaxed. And if someone that's 20 catches COVID, okay, it's not great, but their life is not at risk and it's very unlikely for them to end up in hospital. So we can't tell people not to go out or not to travel. People do need to live a bit. So I think the vaccine rollout is going out in Andalusia. Most over, I think 80%, if I'm not wrong, of over 65s have had their vaccination, and the rollout is going quite quickly. So I think that's why the Andalusian government has lifted many of the restrictions, especially for the bars that can open till 2 a.m., etc. So, and the infection rates are going down, the hospitalization rates are going down, so that is a positive aspect of the vaccine rollout. So let's just hope that people are responsible and things and life can little by little start to get normal.
Life can little by little get to normal, Roz.
Well, there doesn't seem to be that much security in being younger. I mean, all the people that came in during Easter, do you remember they came from France and Belgium and Madrid and partied all night? And they may not die, but it's been shown medically that they're still affected and they can have long-term effects from having the virus. So it's not that they're safe. And that's why they're still giving it out to, they're getting, in the US anyway, they're giving it younger and younger. Now, I don't know about giving it to like a 2 or 3 year old. I'm not sure about
that. Well, I mean, you know, the jury's still out on that one. Although we do, you know, we have used vaccines on, I mean, you know, we said smallpox, polio, all except measles, all that sort of stuff before. So
exactly.
This one, just in, who's from somebody who I will shall remain anonymous, but those who think that the COVID-19 vaccine will modify their DNA should see this as an opportunity. Thank you for that one indeed. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Professional. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 996795. Don't forget, we are on Twitter as well. We are on Instagram. There's a whole variety of things. And of course, don't forget the website, which is tre.radio. You can click on that and find out what's going on here on TRE, what's going on, and listen to most of the programmes from the past 7 days or so. Let's go live to lines again. 952-78-4000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
I'm compelled to ring back again. I seem to be in a minority viewpoint, don't I?
But, well, I'm sure we've had a couple of calls in supporting that. Somebody was saying that there was protein in them. They were being injected with a protein that's going to change our DNA.
Yeah, but you see that doesn't help, right? When people have stupid conspiracy theories, right, all it does is ridicule things and it detracts from the issue. But on the other side of the fence, people have become so socially conditioned by fear, and now division is coming. So you're going to separate the part that probably end up being a fifth of the world population. We're going to throw them in a skip or throw them in a rubbish bin. Are you going to exclude them from life? You see, the problem is, Giles, we've come so far so quick. If I were speaking this and saying this is absolutely absurd, taking people's liberty away a year ago, all the people that have been pulled along with this would be saying, well, I probably agree with you. The problem is everybody is making bad decisions on emotion and fear, and they have lost perspective. And when you make decisions on fear, right, you do not often make the right decision. And when people now are saying, oh, yeah, it's okay to exclude people, just hang on a minute. I've got a right to breathe and live in this world just as much as you or somebody. I'm not saying they shouldn't take the vaccine, right, because I think it's a personal choice. But when people start trying to punish somebody like me or exclude them the other way around, it's not a symmetrical argument. It's absolutely wrong. And it's not just morally wrong, it's an affront to our humanity, Giles.
Jason, thank you very much for those points. Well, what would you have as a solution then, Jason, on that one then? And as I said before, I won't say that again. Morning, call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Good morning. I agree entirely with Jason. It's about freedom, and I don't understand Rosin or Kate's argument. What they're basically saying is that they should take my driver license away in case I run somebody over. That would be the scenario, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, they're asking you to a vaccine to reach herd. They would argue they're asking you to have a vaccine to so you have herd immunity, Peter.
But what people are misunderstanding, that a vaccine is not an immunisation. When you talk about smallpox and things like that, you're immunised. We're not being immunised, we're being vaccinated. Vaccination doesn't give you immunisation. So you're not being immunised, you're being vaccinated with an experimental drug. If you sign the Hippocratic Oath as a doctor, primum non nocere, first do no harm. I am a fit very healthy, very bulletproof immune system, and the chances of me getting COVID are minimal, minuscule, tiny. The chances of me getting it are virtually zero. If I did get it, I probably wouldn't even know about it, but then I would have immunity because I'd had it. That's not vaccination. That would be probably immunity. So there's a massive, massive difference there. This is a man-made thing that is creating havoc around the world. And what we're not talking about is why it happened, how it happened. All the things I've said on this show over the years, the corrupt press, the corrupt politicians, the war with China, has all come to a head. We're seeing it right now. And before anyone accuses me of conspiracy theory, I would strongly advise your journalist, Giles, when you come off this show, when you get the chance, read Nicholas Wade. He's an investigative journalist who worked for Science Magazine and Future Magazine, who's written the facts, the actual facts presented. Now, if I'm a jury, and I'm sat on a jury, and I look at those facts, China are guilty of manufacturing this disease and it escaped from the laboratory at the WIV, the Wuhan Institute of Virology. There is no two ways about it. This has happened. And now the whole world is panicking and nobody knows what to do about it. And like Jason said, it's being used to curtail people's freedom. But if I've got zero chance or very, 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 very small chance of getting the disease, why would I want to take an injection when there's a very small chance that that would give me the disease and there are underlying complications from it? So first, do no harm. So as a fit and healthy individual, I don't want it. That's it. If you want it, you take it. But if you've got what you believe is immunization or vaccination, why worry about me? Nothing to do with what's best for society, because I could name 100 things that's what's best for society that could curtail people from doing, but nobody seems to want to do that. The eating of junk food, the drinking, I could go on and on and on, but it's just not there. The Center of Disease Control, the CDC in America, the end of last month, released the figures of what the major causes of death are in America. Number one, coronary heart disease, cardiovascular disease. Yeah. Number two, obesity-related stuff. Now, the first one is just shy of 700,000. The second one just shy of 600,000. Third comes in at 340,000. COVID. 97% of people that died from COVID had one or both of the above. Now, it attacks the ACE2 inhibitors. Now, I do not take ACE2 inhibitors. I've got a good health immune system. So I do not want and I do not need an injection. Now, if you read Nicholas Wade and you read why this disease is man-made,
yep,
it's because there is a Turin cleavage within it that is not anywhere else, which means it's man-made. All the evidence points to it being man-made, every bit of it. Now, this man-made disease has been either deliberately or accidentally released onto the world,
right,
and we're all at each other's throats about freedom. Now, the freedom, it disappeared the moment this thing was released into society. That's the problem we have. And nobody's talking about that. No, none of the mainstream media or the corporate media has even picked up on Nicholas Wade's report. And it's been out nearly a month.
Right. Okay, Peter, thanks very much. Thanks for the points in there. 952-78-4000.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
And it's live to the lines we go. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles. I thought I'd get him because I can't listen to the second half of the show. This is Alf, by the way.
Morning, Alf.
Kiss. Because I'm off to Torremolinos for somebody to stick a needle in my arm, because I agree that we should all have the vaccine, whatever happens. And I don't disagree with Peter's version, but unless there is going to be some ongoing process. And I'm not talking about passports and all of that, but if you want to join in with society things where numbers of people are involved, then you've got to at least prove to those people that you haven't got the illness. You must be able to do that. I don't know if it's about paper or, you know, whatever it is, regular testing. The second bit that people haven't really picked up on is, which I think is disgraceful, is that society wants everybody to be tested to prove whether they have had it, got it, you know, ongoing. And yet, the at the expense. There was a woman on the television last night. She said the cost of her testing was twice as much as the cost of the flight. It's just ridiculous. You know, society wants it done, then society needs to pay for it, and all this testing should be much cheaper than what it is, however they do it. You know, and, but like I say, you know, the teachers over here all had to be tested and have the vaccination. You know, you can't teach unless you've had the jab. I don't think they had much of a choice. That was it. You know, either have a jab or lose your job.
I mean, they were talking of, you know, the having to have a PCR test and then a lateral flow test. That will make put on roughly about £200 extra on your trip if you want to fly.
Oh, well, we had it. Some people who live opposite us, they flew back to Liverpool, to that strangely named airport in Liverpool.
Yeah.
Is it John Lennon, isn't it?
That's the one.
And it cost them £440 here before they got there. And when they got there, they were forced to have another test for another £200 each. So it cost them nearly £1,000 in testing before they'd let them into the UK. Back into the UK,
yeah.
I should say. And yeah, it's just... And people can't afford that. I mean, I haven't seen my mum for, you know, a year now. And all the time, you're running up. You know, I'm not hard up, but I just object to, one, I've got to pay for a test here. Two, I've got to pay for a test there. Three, I've got to isolate. And I can't isolate at my mum's. Anyway, I'm off for my jab. And
right.
I'm going to enjoy it.
Good luck getting punctured, Alf. Good to hear from you, Moo. As always, take care, my friend.
See you later.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Right then, let's go to the WhatsApps and the messages and the, you know, the written word. Starting off, I accept his right to choose. He doesn't accept mine to be vaccinated and avoid overloading the health system that I pay for. Let's go. The phones have gone crazy, as they always do when I start reading stuff out. Let's go live to the lines. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, I'm Ian from Pass End.
Morning, Ian. Can you turn your radio down, because I can hear it in the background?
Yeah, OK. But what I'm saying is that these people talk about freedom and what they can do and not. The thing is, it's the duty of people to their fellow men, not the idea they're a hero and they can do without it. Just let me turn this radio.
As I asked you to, please.
Sorry?
Turn the radio down, please. We can hear it coming back, yeah?
Yeah, you can hear me now?
I can hear you fight loud and clear, Ian. Right, off we go.
Right. All I'm saying is these people talking and pontificating about whether they're going to get the vaccine or the freedom, it's not the freedom of it. It's the duty to everyone else. You don't want to get this thing.
So it should be, you know, like we used to have, you know, a social responsibility, Ian. You think that, you know, that it should be our, you know, our duty to the rest of our communities that we have this vaccine.
Yeah. I mean, the death rate on this whole thing is about 1.6% worldwide or something like that. But so it's not as if you're going to die tomorrow if you get it. You've got 2% chance of dying.
I think it might be a little bit less than that, Ian, to be honest with you. Otherwise, if it was a 2% chance of dying, I think there'd be a worldwide outcry. Ian, what would you say to those who are saying, you know, you shouldn't take the vaccine, it's a matter of personal choice then?
You should take it. It's not a personal choice, it's a personal duty.
Thanks very much for your call in. 952-78-4000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
No, it's Peter again.
Yes, Peter.
Just following on from what I've just said, if you read Nicholas Wade's report,
yeah.
And if, there's the whole. This is all about something called gain of function. Have you heard of gain of function?
No, but I just want to, because I'm getting loads of people coming in here saying, Even that font of all knowledge cannot agree whether Nicholas Wade is a reliable source from the top of his page. This article is currently protected from editing, or until editing disputes have been resolved. The protection is not an endorsement of the current version. Also, Wade used to be a serious science writer, but he lost that title many years ago when he proved that he was incapable of distinguishing fact from wishful thinking. Now he's gone completely bonkers by promoting the ridiculous conspiracy theory that COVID-19 pandemic was started when the SARS-CoV-2 virus was leaked from a lab at the Wuhan Institute of Virology.
Well, what he does is present the facts. It's not a question of his opinion, it's the facts. And all the way through here, he says, neither, I can't prove this is, and present the facts. It's down to you to make the decision. And that's, if people read it that way, they're allowed to. But the bigger question, and these people are saying that we should have the vaccination. They should do their research on gain of function, because this, what's happened is the American government funded the Wuhan Institute of Virology, and so did the Canadian and that, and they were funding gain of function. And gain of function means that they are predicting or trying to get ahead of a disease that doesn't exist by creating that disease. Now, in doing so, it's now been released onto society. So the date, it was banned under Obama, it was banned under President Trump, it's banned by many governments around the world, but Fauci and his cohorts managed to manipulate the ruling of the moratorium and managed to get funding over to there. And if this ever got out, they would be the ones in trouble.
Right.
So the question would be, I would like to ask these people to talk about vaccination. My question to them is gain of function. Do they think that governments with taxpayers' money and private individuals like Bill Gates, the people who are funding this, do they think that these people should be manufacturing diseases that don't exist to try and get ahead of something that might not happen? That is the question we really should be asking here, because this is what they're doing. And when they vaccinate you all against this one, they're now looking at the next one that doesn't exist. And the next one, this is gain of function.
Right.
So this, they could destroy humanity by creating diseases that don't exist. Now, are you going to keep lining up your vaccination when they keep creating them? And that's the question I'd like to ask people.
Okay, are we going to line up for this vaccine? Yeah. Peter, thanks very much for the calls in. 952-784-1000. Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, it's Stephen.
Morning, Stephen.
The Indian one, isn't it the Punjab?
Yeah, very good, yes, that's been doing the rounds on WhatsApp.
No, what my bone of contention is, I've had my jabs, but I've still got to go through the same thing as if I haven't had my jabs, I've still got to be checked out. Why is this?
Well, what you mean, how do you, sorry, you've had your jabs, you've still got to be checked out, how do you mean when you fly?
You know, I've still got to have the one 72 hours beforehand, and then you have to buy the kits that you do.
If you're going back, if you want to go back to the UK at the moment, but that's due to the UK regulation, isn't it?
I see. Okay, no problem. Thanks very much.
No problem at all. Rosalind.
Well, I think people just have to be patient. They have to just slow down, accept it's a pandemic, and we can't do everything we want to do when we want to do it. As far as Peter's concerned, I mean, one of the dangers of the internet, of course, is anything you want to believe, you'll find you can back it up with somebody on the internet. And he says the chance of him getting this virus are so low. Well, I got it. I had it a year ago in January, and I was on my deathbed. I went to a conference in Torrevieja with 200 people, and they didn't open windows, and I came home, and I was very ill for a month, so it's very easy. And I didn't for a minute think that that made me immune from ever getting it again.
I've had
the vaccinations. I think we have to trust the doctors, the medical profession, and the scientists who spend their life working on this field. And I don't see anything wrong with research that is trying to work ahead of getting a virus. I mean, that's what research is all about. But it's not been proven anyway that this was escaped from the lab in China. This is yet another theory that you can get backing from the internet if you look hard enough.
Going to the WhatsApps. According to Fernando Simon yesterday, the average age of those infected is 39, going down. Maybe when enough young ones hear of friends catching it, they'll be less inclined to have the mass botellones with no masks and no social distancing that we have seen recently. Looking at what we've got here. Got that already. Well said, Jason, and well said, Peter. That's another one coming in. We are a broad church. What we have here, over 100 geneticists and biologists categorically dismissed Wade's view of race in a joint letter published in the New York Times on the 8th of August 2014. Wade juxtaposes an incomplete and inaccurate account of our research on human genetic differences with speculation that recent natural selection has led to worldwide differences in intelligent, quote, IQ tests, political institutions, and economic development. We reject Wade's implication that our findings substantiate this guesswork. Whether it's man-made or not is irrelevant. It's here and it's killing people, therefore a drug is needed. Question really is to ask why people are so desperate to go abroad. Imagine people flying all the way to Portugal to experience the local culture and being presented with a cheese and tomato sandwich on sliced white bread for lunch. That's somebody sent in a picture from the BBC on a flight over there. What else is coming over if you're that desperate? People can't afford that. No sympathy. They choose to go away. Again, whether it's man-made or not, a different one is irrelevant. Alternative facts, the virus is here and now, unless you have a DeLorean, and to go back in time and sort things out. Another one coming in, a jab is not invincibility. The idea of governments, the idea of governments creating diseases is just a work from fixing the chimera, I believe. Thoughts coming in on that one. 952-78-4000, the phone number, studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95. Don't forget as well that we have the Facebook page. What is the vaccine doing if it's not immunising us? That's Lynn in Mallorca. What's the vaccine doing if it's not immunising us? To the lines again we go. 952-78-4000. Morning, call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning. This is Andrew.
Morning, Andrew.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, my friend.
Okay, I just had a quick point. It seems that a lot of people are conflating this idea of freedom or liberty, and they don't seem to understand that there are two, and this is like an old universal philosophic debate in utilitarian philosophy, freedom from and freedom to, as in negative liberty and positive liberty.
Right.
So getting the vaccine means that Or choosing to not take the vaccine means you're free to not take it. However, that means that the rest of the people are not free from maybe getting it from you. So I think that the confusion that happens is that people are being a little bit too self-centered. And it should be, I think Rosalind made the point before, it's more of a social duty. Or maybe Alice made that comment. I'm not really sure. But claiming freedom or liberty to not take the vaccine doesn't necessarily mean that somebody telling you that you have to is impinging upon your liberty or freedom. It just means that the taking of the vaccine and the benefits of it far outweigh your selfish desire to not take it and claim that that's your freedom to not do it. So freedom from and freedom to are two very different philosophic things, and they need to be thought through before people start using this catchphrase or buzzword of liberty and freedom.
Andrew, thank you very much indeed. That brings to an end the first half of Viewpoint. Back after the national international news, we'll be talking about the events in Gaza and Israel. See you after the break.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Always live, always lively. It's the second half of Viewpoint. If you want to get involved with the show, then here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Right then, we're not going to talk. I'm just going to go over some of the points that came up off, but I'm not going to take any more calls on the vaccinations, because we get down that rabbit hole, we'll be here all day. However, these are thoughts just in. The term vaccination and immunisation are used interchangeably and incorrectly. It is the vaccine that stimulates an immune response within the body, and this can take up to a month to develop fully. The reason that we are need to gain herd immunity is to prevent variants that might be resistant to the current vaccines from developing. Thank you for that. Thank you for the tin hat somebody sent me as well. That's very good. I would like to see my son. He lives in a different country. There are plenty of people that I know who have missed any participation in the first year of their grandchild's life. Not everyone who wants to travel is looking for the beer and Skittles experience. Thank you very much for that one. Just checking in on some more comments coming in at the moment. 952 78 4000, the phone number, studio at tre.radio. Right then, that's not relevant to what we have at the moment. Let's move on from talking about the virus and the vaccine and the jabs. Good luck, Alf, if you're going for your jab. Let's have a look at what's happening over in Israel, of course. There were massive protests over the weekend in most major cities. Strikes and rockets resume amid ceasefire pressure. There's been no let-up in the worst violence for years, despite widespread calls for a ceasefire. Israel defending their Gaza strategy, of course. International outrage mounts over the number of civilians being killed in Gaza. Israel is trying to explain its actions. In a flurry of briefings, senior military officials have been describing the objectives and timeline of a raw operation that one of them said might stay like this for a while. First, some numbers. Israel says it's hit 820 different targets in the first week of action, some of them repeatedly. That compares with 180 targets in Gaza for the whole of last year. A reminder that for all the ferocity of the past week, this is a long-running war. In return, Hamas and Islamic Jihad militants have fired more than 3,150 rockets. In 2019, by comparison, a total of 2,045 rocket launches were recorded. Israel's Operation Guardian of the Walls began with attacks on Hamas tunnels close to the border fence with Israel. Defense of Israel's nearby communities, some of which are within a few hundred meters of the fence, was a top priority. Next came everything associated with missiles, including launches, manufacturing centers, closely followed by an all-out assault on Hamas's entire military infrastructure, including hundreds of miles of underground tunnels Israel's military calls the Metro. When this phase began with ferocious bombardment on Thursday night, terrified civilians fled, fearing an imminent ground invasion. It's been during this crucial phase, described by Israeli officials as the centerpiece of the operation, that the number of Palestinians killed started to rise dramatically. There are sharply differing narratives about who these people are. The spokesman for the Israeli Defense Force says that at least 130 of the close to 200 Palestinians killed thus far have been combatants. He said this is the most conservative estimate. Obviously, a difference from the Palestinian Health Ministry. It says 100 are dead, are women and children, but never talks about fighters. One of the big things is the destruction of the Al Jalal Tower. This is an 11-story building which was home to the local offices of Al Jazeera and the AP news agency. Now, Israel said it was bristling with Hamas officers and equipment. Journalists were warned that an attack was coming and given an hour to get out before the building was leveled. Israel said it had no choice to attack the buildings, but no one was killed, as an example of the lengths to which its military will go to avoid civilian casualties. The senior commander had words of advice for the media: in Gaza, don't rent your office next to Hamas. It's a very bad idea. So the situation continues. The White House says that the US president called for a ceasefire when he talked to the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on the phone yesterday. Roslyn, your thoughts on what's going on over there at the moment?
Well, I mean, it's very complicated. It's always been very complicated, but it's even more complicated. And I have to, personally, I do feel that the Israeli, I'm very pro-Jewish, but I'm less and less pro-Israeli. I mean, not that I would take sides on either case. I have sympathy for both sides, but increasingly for the other. But Netanyahu, it seems to me that he's only surviving at the moment because he's the one that is stirring this up and controlling it. He was on his way out, and of course he doesn't want to be on his way out because there's three serious law cases against him, and he doesn't want to give up the power, just like Trump, of course.
Right.
So he's the man of the moment, and he's got himself back in just when they were getting a mixture of parties together where there might have been some room for talk. I was quite surprised just how much money the Israelis are given every year, $38 billion from the U.S. every year. And now they've just been given a huge amount more in support. Now, I have a lot of respect for President Biden, and I think he's doing and has done a lot of good. But I was also kind of surprised that his first comment on this situation was the Israelis have a right to defend themselves. I mean, I was quite surprised about that. And so why not think about sanctions? I mean, they've got to stop the war, basically. Find ways to stop the war. But nobody seems to be really able to interfere and prevent all the killing.
Well,
it's the killing, but it's also all the destruction. And as you just mentioned, that building which housed at least two of the news services, but more, Al Jazeera and AP, and a few more as well. Now, they're asking for proof. Because how do we know? I mean, there's Israel, of course, they can come up with good reasons. But in my opinion, they're getting less and less international support and sympathy as they proceed.
I mean, you could argue the point. Israel says it's being attacked. The rockets are being fired from Gaza. So therefore, they are allowed to strike back with force. And perhaps this time around, they mean to try and put an end to Hamas and Islamic Jihad. I mean, you know, let's not forget that the Islamic Jihad there and Hamas and Hezbollah have said their main aim is to wipe Israel off the map.
Yeah, but that's not where it started, is it? It started where Israel's taking more and more land and kicking the Palestinians out. It didn't start with these rockets.
Mm. So that's but would you say that's justification for? I mean, also Netanyahu. I mean, I just sent an email, a message saying that wars win elections. Claudia, your thoughts on what we got here so thus far?
Of course, it's very complicated because it's a conflict that's been going on for over 60 years. So there's not really a solution as such. And I think it's a lot of people jump to conclusions very easily. I know some Israeli people and I've met some Palestinian people and I've heard both sides. And of course, I think like I'm against all violence, whether it comes from Hamas or whether it comes from Israel. I think like any violence is never justified. So it's not a question of religion or one thing or another. So like I don't agree with some of the things that Israel do or have done, and I don't agree with things that Hamas and Hezbollah have done. So I think that they are bad people on both sides, of course. And over the years, like it seems to go by cycles. Like I remember the last time this happened was maybe perhaps 2014, if I'm not wrong. So they were a few years. So it seems that every maybe like 5 years, things kind of flare up. And there was in the last, let's say, 4 to 5 years, they weren't any major incidents. It all seemed quite that it was going quite smoothly, and now suddenly things have flared up again. So I don't really see, because let's say even if there were no settlements, or they were they did let's say free Palestine as such, it's, I don't think that would be the solution to the conflict, because again, what Hamas wants and what Iran wants, one has to remember that Hamas are financed and supported by Iran, and Iran is a terrorist state who wants to obliterate Israel. So of course it's a complicated issue, because they don't believe that Israel should exist, and they want to reclaim their right to Israel, and they consider it their territory. So unless the state of Israel disappeared, they're going to continue with their attacks. And then Israel, they say that they just defend themselves. Of course, it doesn't help their policies of what they've done in the settlements, which has caused a lot of problems and a lot of conflict. So I personally don't really see a peace in the Middle East happening for our generation.
952-78-4000, thank you for calling, Holger. What's your name, where are you calling from, what's your viewpoint, please?
Yes, it's Gil from Calpe.
Morning, Gil.
Yeah, now, first I'd like to correct something. The lady on the show said that Israel receives $38 billion a year. It's not $38 billion, it's $3.8 billion. Okay, that's the first thing. Now, let me explain this thing about Gaza without going into too much of history. Let's start at 2005. Okay, Israel came to an agreement with the Palestinian Authority that it withdraws from Gaza. It took out all the settlements. It even took out, you know, people had to dig out bodies from the graves. It took out all the graves away as well. On the Palestinian side, you know, they agreed to demilitarize the entire Gaza Strip. That was the agreement. Now, 2 years later, Hamas took the area by force from the Palestinian Authority. And Israel said to them, look, it's none of our business whether Hamas rules Gaza or whether Palestinians rule Gaza. This is in turn an internal thing for the Palestinians to decide. But if Hamas rules it now, then it has to keep the agreement that they signed on. But then Hamas says, no, you know, we didn't sign anything, you know. So they didn't keep their agreement. As a result, Israel put a blockade on Gaza. Now, Israel does not control Gaza. It blockades it. It's not an occupied territory because nobody occupies it. No force occupies it. It blockades it. And so it's also Egypt that blockades it for one side, Israel from two sides. And this is because they didn't keep the agreement that they signed on.
It's down to Hamas not keeping their agreement then that we have the current problems then, yeah?
Yeah, Hamas didn't keep the agreement that the Palestinian Authority that ruled it beforehand signed,
yeah,
to demilitarize Gaza. That was the agreement. Israel takes a settlement out, you know, the Palestinians take the weapons out. Israel did its part, the Palestinians didn't do their part. Therefore, Israel blockaded Gaza from two sides. There's the Mediterranean on one side, and there's Egypt on the fourth remaining side.
Okay.
That's the situation now. That explains it. Nobody, you know, the lady before said Israel is taking territory. It's not taken any territory, Palestinian territory or any other territory. Since the Six-Day War, Israel has not taken any territory from anybody. It's just given territory. It got rid of Sinai in 1979 with a peace agreement, and then it got out of Gaza. You know, no territory was taken since.
What would you say though to those who would argue that there is the current response? I mean, obviously, any state is entitled to defend itself against attacks. Would you argue that perhaps that Israel is employing overkill in the current situation?
No, look, I mean, take, for instance, the Second World War. I mean, Dresden was bombed by Britain. Churchill didn't say, well, let's, before we bomb Dresden, let's count how many people died in London, how many people died in Germany, and let's be sure that the number's more or less the same, because otherwise it's not fair. It doesn't go that way. You know, a war continues till it ends. A war continues till either one side surrenders. or there's a ceasefire. You know, there's no, it's not a matter of how many got killed. You know, the war continues, you know, till there's no threat, until there can be peace. You know.
Jill, as always, thank you very much for your call in. 952-78-4000. Morning caller, thank you for holding your live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Is that me, Giles?
Jason, yeah, we're talking about Israel now, though, okay.
Yeah, no worries, no worries. I get that. Look, let's separate an issue here, right? It's not the jihadist extremism that's caused this. That is an issue caused this. What it was is when Israel went into to their territory and started kicking families out of homes, which got everybody's back up, right? And this is what kicked it off. What you've got is, just like Saudi Arabia, you've got a superpower in Israel that just walks between the raindrops. Its best buddy is America, so it can do what it wants. And America funds Israel. It paid and set up a shield system against these rockets. Not many of them get through. So it's sticks versus stones, isn't it? And I don't believe in God, but both Saudi Arabia and Israel are a disgrace and an affront to their gods, because when civilians and children get killed, right, in situations like this, it's a bloody disgrace, basically, and it cannot be justified or rationalised. It's just disgusting, isn't it?
Jason, as always, thank you very much for your call in there. 952-78-4000. Ross.
I just want to apologise. You're absolutely right. Our previous caller, who, thank you for correcting me. Yes, 3.8 billion.
But it's 3.8 billion over 10 years. So it is.
No, this is each year. No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so 3.8 billion over 10 years, which is 38 billion.
Okay. Thank you, Giles.
Even my grip on maths, and I remember I failed my math twice, can work that one out. So
I feel so much better now.
And also, thank you, Peter, for pointing that out for me as well. I couldn't do that on my own. But yes, indeed. Let's go to some of the WhatsApps. If you want to get your thoughts on what's happening in Gaza at the moment.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
And going to the WhatsApps, don't forget the email studio@tre, studio@tre. Looking at some of these things in. Right then, as we said before, there will never be a solution, says one. Yes, okay, fair enough. The caller is either biased or deluded. Israel has a next plenty of land. Israel situation, from John, did not start with the creation of Israel in 1947, when land was confiscated from the Arabs. Maybe the Morocco invasion of Ceuta could be resolved by returning Andalusia to the Arabs. Please note, this is not an entirely serious comment. Thank you very much. 1,500 for the BBC have said turned up in Ceuta or swam into Ceuta yesterday. How else can the Palestinians respond but fire rockets when yet more land is being taken from them and they are powerless to prevent it? Gills could have referred to the 14th of May 1948, when the British government gave Palestinian land to Israel. And this just coming in. Hasn't come in yet. So we're going to take a short break and then back with more Viewpoint.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. And you can WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. We were talking about Gaza and the situation there. Just give you some updates on what we've had coming in since we have been on air. The latest coming in, that's exactly not what I was looking for. Excuse me. Just let me get there. No, not that either. Sorry. Excuse me. Something seems to be going. Looking at the... No, not either. Excuse me. So, total loans from the US to Israel are, morning, Peter, are $146 billion. In addition to that, $3.8 billion a year. It is not entirely altruistic, though. Most of the money comes back to the US companies like Boeing and Lockheed Martin. So it could be described as a form of socialist government support for US companies that would otherwise, for US companies that under other circumstances would be anathema to them. Thank you for that. Mark, good morning. Did my Facebook post stimulate today's subject? I'm not sure. I haven't seen your Facebook posts, Mark, but great minds think alike. Quote in on November 29th, 1947, the United Nations National General Assembly passed a resolution calling for Palestine to be partitioned between Arabs and Jews, allowing for the formation of the Jewish State of Israel. Thank you for the history lesson. Also, a breaking news from AFP. UN hails Israel decision to open crossing for humanitarian aid into Gaza. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. At tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official. I suppose the main problems is that how do you fight a war in one of the poorest, most densely populated places on Earth against an enemy who's going to be using that to their advantage? And how can you defend your own population from those attacks when almost everything you do affects innocent women and children? 952-784-4000. Let's go from that. We're going to look at something else. Another subject. Casting our eye onto what's happening in the UK after this.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giant Brown.
Always live, always lively. Into the last 28 minutes or so of today's Viewpoint. Joined in the studio by Roslyn Scott-Gibb and Claudia De La Torre. If you want to get involved with the show.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Mark came back about his comments about the insults shouted at a car with Jewish occupants in the UK, and it's bigger news than COVID, I think. Thank you for that one. And the internet has gone into meltdown about that, about a darker tide of anti-Semitic hatred in London. This coming in, what we've got here. No, okay, thanks very much for those points coming in. Rosalind, we're looking at the UK, I believe. Your thoughts on what you're seeing back in what some of us would call the old country?
Well, I'm looking forward to the Scottish referendum in spite of Boris Johnson.
Well, it's not going to happen, is it? I mean, apparently, you know, Johnson.
Well, if he has anything to do with it, he's going to prevent it. But I have confidence that we will have a referendum in Scotland, and I'm looking forward to having my Scottish passport as Scotland becomes part of the EU.
Well, it's going to take another. Well, okay. Let's rewind then a couple of bits and pieces on that one. But thank you for that. For a start, Boris Johnson has categorically said no for that one. Although Nicola Sturgeon has come back and saying that she's got a mandate because she's managed to form a coalition government up in Scotland. That won't be happening until, because of the situation now, what was it, 2023? I would think at the earliest. And then there's still if Scotland just broke away from the rest of the Union, surely that would be. That would be curtains for, because you couldn't really have a Great Britain, with the greatest of respects to our friends in Northern Ireland and Wales. If Scotland leaves the Union, that's pretty much Great Britain looking very odd shaped for a start.
Well, that would be true, but there's many people in England that would make quite unkind remarks about the Scots and would like to see them go.
Indeed.
And No, you're right. It would be not good for the United Kingdom, but I'm not sure Boris is going to be able to stop that.
The you also make the assumption, Amino, and I'm playing devil's avocado here, to coin a phrase, to the assumption that the EU would welcome back in Scotland into as an independent country. You know, that opens up another sort of kettle of pescado, if you like, another can of worms, because if you say, OK, we become an independent and we're automatically back into the EU, then that means, I mean, the Catalans, Claudia, would then say, well,
No, it's a different situation. First of all, there isn't a constitution, as you know, in the UK. The thing is, it's written in the Spanish constitution that you can't break away. You're the better one to talk about that one. But it's an entirely different situation. I'll leave it as simple as that. So that's not going to be a justifiable argument.
Right.
Go. I think they may well just welcome Scotland in. Scotland has a lot to offer, and it's a very rich country. And look how much Ireland benefited by being part of the EU. I see Scotland just following in the footsteps of Ireland.
Following in the footsteps. I mean,
of Ireland, yes.
There's a small point of what you would do with the army, what you do with Trident, what you would do with the oil, the gas, etc.,
yes,
etc.
Yes, this is a Trident. This is a bit of a problem. I know. Right. I know. These are details.
Knife.
These can be worked out.
These can be worked out. Right then. Might be worth saying oh or a bit more on air. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for your constructive criticism there. Right, let's have a look. Scotland would need to apply as a new country. It won't have any rights. It won't have any rights because it was part of the UK. No, let me start again. Scotland would need to apply as a new country. It won't have any rights because it was part of the UK. And Catalonia was never an independent nation. It is not the same as us at all. Trident is London's issue. It should be made obsolete. It is a waste of money, those thoughts in.
And Scotland doesn't want that anyway.
And Scotland doesn't want that anyway. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on what's happening in the UK generally then at the moment? I mean, what are your thoughts on what we've seen with Boris Johnson and the accusations of sleaze, etc., that have been coming out over the past couple of weeks?
Regarding Scotland,
yeah.
I personally think that now is not the time for a referendum because there's a huge... There's the worst economic contraction in a long time. Unemployment is rife. There really is other priorities at the moment apart from independence. Maybe in a few years they could talk about it. But what disturbs me about nationalists and separatism in Europe at the moment is... all polls show that people's priority now is to get the economy going, get the jobs going, and talks of independence is something secondary. Okay, one can want independence, but I personally think that it would be extremely disruptive, as I said. And, of course, if Scotland left the Union, it would be a... independent country, yes, but then to join the EU, it would take several years because it's a whole process to rejoin the European Union, and it could be vetoed by other member states such as France, Spain, Germany.
Right.
Everybody loves Scotland.
No, the simple fact is that they don't want... the European Union has said that they don't want Europe to disintegrate more smaller states because they want more unity. And the problem is, for example, Spain or Germany has a... Bavaria that has a nationalist movement. France has Corsica, etc. So let's say if they allowed an independent country into the EU... their fear would be that would impulse other...
We'd have city-states like Venice coming back up again and the
exactly.
whole thing. Exactly. Gotta go live to the lines. Just one second, Claudia. Morning, caller. Thanks for holding. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi, Giles. It's David again from Ben on Manchester.
Hi, David.
May I jump back to this Israeli conflict?
You may, yeah.
To puzzle. Okay, John. There's one of your... viewers were about to say, somebody made a comment a few moments ago, very well done on this
Israeli-Palestinian problem. But, you know, most people seem to overlook the basic principle of what is the causative factor of the problem. Much of the program media overlooks that main reason why Gaza understandably defends itself from the relentless Israeli theft of its land. They're stealing patches of land right in the middle of Palestinian country, although a couple of callers said they're not, but they definitely are. They call them settlements, and they link them together with major auto routes which run straight through the country to get to these settlements. So there is absolutely no doubt about it that the Israelis are continuing to settle patches of that land, sort of, you know, putting patches around, and then they join up the odd pieces between, a bit like a jigsaw puzzle. And that can never be acceptable behavior. It was never even Israel's in the first place. It was the Balfour Agreement section of a plot to shut up the nomadic, wandering, homeless Jews from the war. And they were dissatisfied and wanted more. Unable to obtain the world's permission to stretch its borders, it embarked upon a course of systematic land theft. Did they sensibly think that the Gazians, whatever you call them these days, the Palestinians, would quietly give up their own land and houses and quietly shuffle off it back into the desert? Obviously, they didn't continue to do so. They're unable to defend themselves because they're poor, badly organized, without military or even airports, nor even seaports. A group, Hamas, unfortunately the terrorist, is taking that defensive protective action. Whilst no one agrees with them being active, in this case, someone has to do it. The solution is to stop Israel stealing land. They're a nation of common thieves until they do. Return all the settlements to their rightful owners. Shut up moaning and begging the US Senate for endless dollars, billions, somebody was mentioned, I think 3.5 million, pressurized by the Jews lobbying the Congress. Additionally, the world will do well to remind the Jews of whatever nationality they are to remember that Jewish is a chosen religion. It's not a birthright. Israel is a country to which they have no attachment whatsoever. It's not their homeland. It's only 73 years old, May 14th, 1948. It's a new country, and in 1948 have prescribed borders, hard lines drawn in the sand. They were grateful then and should recall that day, the frontier lines, and grow up to be educated, civilized adults instead of imitating the Arabs they despise but emulate. That's my point of view.
Thank you very much for that point, David. Passionately made. Thank you for your point of view, well, viewpoint.
That's how it is. I'm not Jewish, but I'm sitting on the outside looking in, and that's to me very, very clear exactly just how it is. They were given a plot of land because they were lost. They were poked in there. They drew it in the British government with the Balfour Agreement. They drew that patch of land for them and said, there you are, set up your home. How nice it is. And they immediately started warring across their borders, trying to stretch it, shoving the Palestinians out. And it was a piece of their land that they were given. Just doesn't make sense to me.
Some bits coming in there. This remark, bravo to the man speaking now. And somebody's going to come in going, I'm not Jewish, you just said. And somebody said, no wonder that was a thought. Thanks very much for calling. I've got another caller holding, but thank you for your points in. 952-784-4000. Morning caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yes, this is Gil from Calgary again. Well, the previous caller, everything he said was wrong. I mean, I don't know even where to start. I know the history extremely well. I won't. Let me try to explain it, but without going too much history, because people might find it a bit too boring. The whole area, the whole Middle East and North Africa was one country for 400 years. I'm not going back to the time of the Romans, just the Ottoman Empire ruled the whole area from 1517 to 1917. That's exactly 400 years. There were no countries. There was no division. It was one unit altogether. Okay? Came World War I, and Britain and France conquered the area and divided it amongst themselves. Okay? Now, the Balfour Declaration that he mentions doesn't promise anything to anybody. If you don't believe me, read it. It's only 67 words in very plain English. But later came the San Remo Accord. San Remo was just a continuation of Versailles, but for the Middle East.
Right.
And that promised, on the 24th of April 1920, the whole area which today Israel controls, plus Jordan, plus the Golan Heights, to a Jewish state. And that was signed by the British government, the French government, the Japanese, the Italians, and the Americans were observers because they were not part of the League of Nations. And that was ratified by 50 countries of the League of Nations 2 years later. And when the United Nations was founded in 1945, they decided that all those agreements are still valid and the United Nations will take it on from the League of Nations as it was. Okay. So, now, of course, I skipped the part where Churchill came in 1922 and decided to form Jordan, right. You know, to solve a problem between royal families in Saudi Arabia, you see. But Jordan is a Palestinian state. See, I mean, 90% of the population of Jordan is Palestinian. If they're not Palestinian, I mean, what are they? If that's not a Palestinian state, what is it? The fact that the king is not Palestinian doesn't mean anything. It's just like saying, you know, Belgium has a German king, so the Belgians do not have a country. You know, of course they have a country. And in this case, Jordan is a Palestinian state. Now, Palestinian Arab state. Now, what Churchill should have done is said, look, okay, we're giving... you know, Jordan to the Arabs, everything to the east of the river and everything to the west of the river we will give to the Jews. That will mean that the Arabs get two-thirds. That's what he should have done 100 years ago, but he didn't do that, you know, right. So he gave Jordan to the Arabs, and then there was an agreement on the other part, you know. So Jordan is a Palestinian state. The fact that they claim that they have no state is nonsense, you know. They have a state. All you have to do is take your atlas, and wherever it says Jordan, take a thick blue pen, you know, rub it out and write Palestine instead, solve the Palestinian problems. Now, you might want to ask, well, why don't the Palestinians on the West Bank, you know, go to Jordan if that is a Palestinian state? Very, very simple. Jordan and many other countries around Israel have terrible unemployment, always had. In Israel, there was never unemployment. There's never been unemployment, especially for people with no skills. As a result, they know that if they stay in the West Bank, they can work in the West Bank. Many of them work in the settlements, but even if they work in Israel proper, there is always tons of work there for unskilled labor in agriculture, in building. I mean, the employers, they cannot get enough, you know, low-skilled workers to work, because Israel is developing and the economy is doing quite well. And it always did well, including under British rule.
Right.
So, I mean, Israel is not taking any... Now, what he was talking about, tunnels to get to the settlements, I assume from what he said, he referred to the West Bank.
Okay? Yeah.
Now, the West Bank was taken over by Israel in the 1967 war.
Yeah.
Now, you can say, well, it never annexed it officially. It only annexed East Jerusalem and so on. Well, this might be true technically. I mean, and Israel doesn't annex it officially today, because if the day it does it, then the whole United Nations go crazy, and the peace with these Abraham Accords will be undone and so on. So it doesn't. But for every practical purpose, it annexed it. It built their, what they call settlements. These are not settlements. These are towns. I mean, they're not caravans with a generator. These are skyscrapers. These are towns with universities. You know, Israel basically took all that land. Now, in the past, they talk about two-state solution and all this, but the argument against the two-state solution is not the fact, it's nothing to do with security or with God or with promised land or anything like that. It's the fact that they tried it. They tried it several times, and it always failed. You know, the last time they tried it seriously was in the year 2000, after 7 years of negotiations between Arafat and Barack, they and Bill Clinton. Seven years of negotiations. Barack really believed in that two-state solution. He tried to implement it, but you know, Arafat eventually said no. And Clinton said to Arafat, look, if you're not happy with this plan, you come up with your plan. You know, you show an alternative, see?
Yeah.
Which you didn't. So this two-state solution is not going to go anywhere, because they've tried it many times. I mean, the British tried it in 1937 with a Peel Commission, and then it was rejected by Britain itself a year later with a MacArthur Commission, and then you had, 1947, after the vote that your previous caller mentioned in the United Nations, 2 days later, seven Arab countries declared war on the partition. There was no Jewish state yet. It was only a plan. They declared war on the plan.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was rejected in 1947. 1967, it was rejected by Nasser when he went to Khartoum and he said his famous three no's, and then it was rejected by the Palestinians 2000. And since then, there were two proposals, one by Olmert, the previous Israeli prime minister, and one by John Kerry, which never took off the ground.
Yeah.
So they've tried it many, many times again. And now it's too late because Israel is just, you know, it has quite a lot of population on the West Bank. It's not going to withdraw from it, and they might realize that, you know. And there isn't nobody is taking land. There is the Palestinian authority there, which has an autonomy in about 2/3 of the West Bank. It's not a perfect agreement, but that's the agreement. That's how it is right now.
Gil, thank you very much for that quick history lesson. Thanks very much for the call in there. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. If you want to get in touch with us, we're in the last 10 minutes of the show.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Going back to the WhatsApps and the emails in there, this one, and we should remember that Israel is the only democratic country in the Middle East. Yes, it receives the support of the USA, another democratic country. Which country, when attacked, is not expected to defend its... Which country, when attacked, is not expected to defend itself? Which sovereign country has agreed to ceasefire again and again over the years, and the last time it was broken by Hamas, a terrorist organization funded by Iran, where funds from the EU are used by Hamas to make terror tunnels? In the unceasing rocket attacks, women and children have been killed on both sides. The media is not reporting things in an unbiased way. Hamas are cowards hiding behind the innocent people. This other one, Balfour Agreement, actually, a declaration was made during the First World War, 1915, and did not lead to the UN resolution directly in 1948, although it was one of the causative factors. This one in as well. Why don't we call what Israel is doing to Palestine? Why don't we call what Israel is doing to Palestine is apartheid? Thank you for that. This also coming in. You don't know your version of history very well. Only 1.2 million of the 10.65 million people in Jordan are Palestinian. It's doing well because it's subsidized by the UK and US. Israel took all that land. He said in the first call that Israel took no land whatsoever. It wasn't a history lesson. It was dissemination of misinformation to suit his narrative. I vaguely remember that that King Hussein of Jordan threw out Arafat and most of the PLO, what, in the 70s or the mid-70s or the early 80s, because of their actions. 952-78-4000, the phone number. Into the last 5 minutes of today's Viewpoint. Don't forget, Stephen Richardson coming up with Europe Today at 12 o'clock. And then during the rest of the day, we have, of course, Sina McKenzie with the Lifestyle Show at 2, followed by Dave and the Daily. He'll be talking to Dr. Peter Such about his book Confessions of an English Alcalde, a cautionary tale, life about in a small village set deep in the olive groves of Andalusia. Sounds like my year in Provence stage. Keeping up with the latest news at 6 o'clock with Spain Today, and then the repeat of this show is at 7 o'clock, 2 hours of Viewpoint. If you want to get your last comments in with the last 5 minutes of the show, here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
It's a bit of a shame that instead of finishing the peace deal between Israel and Saudi Arabia that Trump initiated, Biden sent lots of orders to Hamas. And then we've got some more thoughts on the situation with the demonstrations in the UK, in London. And, of course, there has been the zero tolerance to the anti-Semitic video that appeared for Arrested Over, video showing anti-Semitic abuse being shouted from a car in North London. Into the last 4 minutes of the show, if you want to get your thoughts over, 952-784-4000 is the phone number, studio@tre.radio is the email, the Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 996 795. Rosalind.
Well, I'll just introduce a new subject just by saying well done Liz Cheney, who was the only one of the very few, the only one who was brave enough of the Republicans to stand up against Donald Trump. And although she was forced to resign, totally wrong because they're all cowards and are looking after their own position. She's the only one that's telling the truth and trying to save the ethics of the Constitution.
Donald Trump
well
is
done.
Gone, Rosalind, but you're
oh,
not letting
no,
him...
Oh, no, he's not gone. He's not gone. He's absolutely there, talking about the big lie where he actually won the election and he's got this huge number, 75% of the Republicans believe it or... are still spreading it every day.
Do you
not,
get a
it's
free,
not been left behind.
Do you get a free My Pillow if you believe on that thing?
And although I don't have much good to say about her father, Dick Cheney, I do think Liz Cheney appears to be a very strong and honourable, brave woman.
And so say all of us, I believe you're supposed to say under that. But, Trump is, apart from having riven the, maybe his departure, he's been very, very quiet. Would you say he's been too quiet?
Rumbling away in the background. No. He's only been quiet because he's forced to be quiet.
Oh, I've been told off, thank God, he's the favourite for the Republican renomination here.
I know, absolutely. I mean, he has the power there still. It's unbelievable, but it's true. The majority of the Republicans believe the lie that he won the election, and that it's just absurd, and they're all too cowardly to look at the truth except her.
It's right. Well, Ross, yes, you've once again you've put that one across quite forcefully.
Sadly enough, Trump is still around.
Trump is still. You make it sound like the bogeyman, Rosalind.
Absolutely.
Basically. Right then, Claudia, what are you looking forward to politically or socially this week in Spain or further afield? What do you think we should be looking out for in our newspapers?
For me, the big worry at the moment is the situation in Ceuta, because it's an escalating situation. And this morning, more have arrived. And also in Melilla, there's been another hundreds of people who have jumped the fence. So it's a very worrying situation, what's going on there. So I think this very serious diplomatic conflict with Morocco and the consequences that are... that we're seeing is really something that we must look out for.
And Roz, what are you going to be looking... What are you going to be focusing your media eye on in the next coming week? What do you think is going to be the breaking story? We're going to still be looking at what's happening in Israel?
We have no choice. If we want to keep up with what's going on, we have to follow these things. What's going on in Israel? What's going on in the US? What Boris is up to in the UK, what's happening in Spain. We have to keep an eye on all of it.
Well, we'll try and keep an eye on all of it via TRE Talk Radio, Your Voice in Spain. Thank you. I'll give the final... Richard saying he's only quiet because he's not spewing out his verbiage. What's a good word? His verbiage on social media. There you go. So he's, taking his dummy away. And Dawn thinks the free My Pillow is an excellent idea. That's quite all right. Almost out of time. It has been my pleasure and my privilege to bring you today's viewpoint. Thanks for all the messages in. Thanks for all the comments as well. I'll try not to but as Billy Connolly said, don't tell me how to do my job. Do I come to your work and tell you how to sweep up? My thanks to my guest, Claudia De La Torre.
Thank you very much to you, Giles, and thank you for everyone listening as usual.
And Rosalind Scott-Gibb.
Thank you, Giles, and thank you very much to our listeners who were quite respectful today.
Well, we'll soon change that very probably. Right then, we're off to have a well-earned coffee and a donut. This show will be repeated at 7 o'clock. Stephen Ritson is up next.
The views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this programme, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.